Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to the Vandal Scoreboard on KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM, hosted by myself, James Torman Aldrich, and the one and only Jaden Barfis. We have a lot to talk about today, kind of, yeah, I guess.
I would say so.
I'll turn your mic on, Jaden. That might be the nice thing to do. We're going to start with something that reached top five on the top 10 plays on SportsCenter on Thursday evening, which in my opinion should have been number one, maybe number two, but definitely it should have been higher than number five.
To be fair, there were four other buzzer beaters on top of that. So,
well, the Stetson one, I would have put at number one.
Yeah,
Jokic's full court shot. Okay.
That was amazing. I mean,
but of course, we're talking about Idaho playing the Northern Colorado Bears up here in Moscow in ICC Arena in front of 1,716 people.
Wow. It seemed like a lot more.
I'd hate to be number 1,717 that would have been there but couldn't be there. Tough day to be him or her. But Idaho came out on top at the very last millisecond.
Yep.
As Colton Mitchell drained a 35-foot, according to Dennis Patchen, a 35-foot three-point shot to send the Idaho Vandals above the Bears 77-76. Jaden, I think that was the most excited we've ever been for anything ever. that was a game that, I mean, Idaho was down, what, 13?
Yep.
With like 7 minutes left. And, I mean,
it clawed back.
It was,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was a game to be at. And it definitely helped that the refs finally started calling things in the second half. A lot of Northern Colorado fans are upset, but they didn't watch the game if they thought that.
No, they didn't.
That Idaho got bailed out or whatever, but I mean, you look at the first half for Northern Colorado from the free throw line. They went there three times, hit six shots, or had six attempts, made five of them. It's really early in the morning, folks. It's early for me. And then in the second half, they hit 11 of 15, so went 16 of 21 overall. And then the Vandals, who shot 5 for 7 from the line in the first half, got 23 attempts in the second half, hit 21 of them. Fun fact, 23 points in the, according to this one Northern Colorado fan, 23 free throw attempts in the second half is more than they've allowed. Northern Colorado has allowed a team to shoot in a game all season. So, tough. Don't foul, I guess. But, I mean, the hero of this game was Colton Mitchell, the pride and joy of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, who had 1 point in the first half, which isn't very Colton Mitchell-esque. And then he pulled the, I understand it now, in the second half, came out of the locker room, hit 24 points in the second half.
Six three-pointers, I think?
Five
three-pointers.
Shot 9. 6 of 12 overall from the field.
Yeah.
So he had, and then he had 8 points from the free throw line.
So 18.
Yeah.
And then 8 points from the free throw line.
Yeah, so also going to the free throw line a lot was Ty Linhart. Shot 7 of 9 from the line. And JoJo Anderson, historically not a great free throw shooter, especially in clutch moments for the Vandals, went to the line twice, went 4 for 4. And, I mean, just an exciting game to be at. Hand Northern Colorado, their first loss of the season.
In conference,
yeah. Thanks, Jane. First conference loss of the season. Yeah. Once again, it's. I understand that it's 10 a.m. and some of you have been awake for 4 hours, but it is early for me.
Yeah.
But the other big story of the game is Jaden and I's, you know, favorite Northern Colorado Bear, Quinn Danker, was back in Moscow starting for the first time in conference play. I would hand this over to Jaden, but he doesn't have the stats pulled up. So I'm going to say what Quinn did. He had 12 points against his former team, one steal, a turnover, two assists, three fouls, and a rebound. He played in 34 minutes, which I would imagine is the most he's played so far this season.
I would, yeah. That would be my guess.
He started early in the year and then went to the bench. And but he was 5-for-9 from the field, 2-for-5 from three, and didn't make it to the free throw line. And unluckily for Quinn, which I didn't realize at the time, the shot
neither.
That won the game was shot over Quinn Danker. Yeah. So, it was cool to see him, though, and have him back in ICCU Arena, and came over and said hi to us, which was awesome. So, unfortunate that, you have to cheer against such a great guy. But, yeah. Idaho comes out on top in one of the best games, if not the best game, at the college level that I've ever been to. And, yeah, Jane, do you have any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, it was a game that said the first half, I was like, if the Vandals can stay within seven to six points, we can really contend, and then we fall down 10 after a Kyson Rose bear hug flagrant foul into the first half. I mean, obviously not something you want, and then Noko would go on and make one free throw, and then also a jumper, so go from a 4-point lead to a 7, and then they also drilled a 3 at the end of the first half, and gave Northern Colorado the momentum. But then Colt Mitchell woke up and decided, okay, I'll play basketball today. 24 points, hit some big step back 3-pointers, was very good defensively too. Thing with Colton is head coach Alex Pribble said last week. He is the spark plug of the Vandals team, and he really showed it. I mean, after the game, he was juiced. The whole second half, the team was juiced. The Vandalizer student section got juiced up there at the end. So, kind of hoping for a bit more of that today and throughout the season.
Would be nice.
I'm also going to shout out Kyson Rose for getting 1,000 points. That's a huge milestone for him personally. And so
it only took one to him. Super forced shot early in the game.
Yeah.
And then he found a more open look down the paint.
Yeah.
But yeah. I want to, just before we move on to the rest of the show, I kind of want to talk about what it took for Idaho to go from down 13 to back into this game. So with 13 minutes and 37 seconds left in the game, a Marcel McCreary layup puts the Golden Bears up 13. Tyler Morris gets fouled, goes 1-for-1 from the line. Tyler Morris redeems it, hits a 3, goes down.
1-for-1, or would that be 1-for-2?
1-for-2, you know what I meant. 1-for-2 from the line. and then he hits a 3, Jaron Riley hits a layup to put the Bears back up 11. Colton Mitchell, as Jaden mentioned, hits a 3. Vandals are down 8. Colton Mitchell, fast break 3. Vandals down 5. Colton Mitchell gets a steal, isn't able to score. Gets another steal, passes it up to Tyler Morris. Vandals are down 3. Northern Colorado scores again, up 5. Colton Mitchell goes to the line. It's both free throws. Colton Mitchell goes to the line, hits free throw. Northern Colorado goes on a little another run. Vandals get it to within 2 with 7 minutes and 34 seconds left off a Ty Linhart layup. And then they keep going back and forth for a while until the Vandals are finally able to tie it up after two, once again, like I said with JoJo, kind of miraculous here, two, Jaden, count them, two free throws from Julius Mims. And then a Ty Linhart layup ties it up. So there were, what, I mentioned 6 free throws in that time period?
Yeah.
Maybe 7. And, that kind of brought Idaho back in the game, but really it was Colton Mitchell 3, Colton Mitchell 3, Colton Mitchell, 3.
Oh, and also Colton Mitchell steals. He was very active on the other side of the court, which is something that I believe Vandal fans don't really see, is that he, for being 6'1", the guy is a really good defender. He fights really hard. And so it really was just a Colton Mitchell game against the guy who Colton Mitchell replaced on this team, Quinn Danker. Quinn, I mean, and you and I talked to a guy outside the arena that said Quinn didn't play good. That's the farthest thing from the truth. Quinn played good. I mean, Quinn last year, and I believe this was the misconception about Vandal fans, Quinn played great most of last year. Now, the Big Sky game, yeah, that was a game that Quinn did not play good, and Quinn said after the game that Quinn didn't play good against Sacramento State. But there were times where Quinn was the only offense.
Yeah.
And so Quinn carried the team for and Juice carried the team last year. So I'm very glad that Quinn found a place that is good for him, where Quinn doesn't have as much pressure as he did, and Quinn can go out and play. I mean, Quinn started hot. He had the first, I think, 5-6 points for Northern Colorado. So overall, great game, and I'm really excited for the last 7 or 8 games we have left.
Yeah, Vandal's currently sitting at 9-11. They need 3 more wins to reach where they were at or do better than they were last year. If it were up to me and we only got 3 more wins this season, I would love a win today because I don't like NAU. And I would love to sweep Idaho State. Yeah, so we start and end the month of February with the Bengals. Should be a fun couple of games. And hopefully, after 2 years of sitting down in solitary confinement, we can bring King Spud back to where he belongs.
Solitary confinement.
Yeah, I bet they don't treat him very well down there.
I mean, I can confirm because I've been in Idaho State campus. My younger sister also goes there. He is on display in the, I don't know exactly what they call it. It is the student union building. But I am very excited to see him come back to Moscow. I believe both teams are extremely talented and they're way better than what they were last year. But yeah, I'm very excited.
I mean, really, you just need 2 big wins from the women. And even if the Vandal men lose, as long as they lose by max 8 points in both games,
I
think the women can cover the spread. And
or, I mean, what would really be ideal is that if the women sweep, the men split one, but
because in the 2 years since King Spud has been back, it has been... it goes down to the point tiebreaker. So it would be the
that
first time
true.
That
yep. yeah,
a
because,
team has... Because
both teams have split both years.
Yeah, so kind of exciting stuff. But I am going to move on, if that's okay, Jaden.
Yeah, because we...
we still have a lot to talk about, and we have 42 minutes to do it.
Yeah, and we are going to talk about women's basketball here soon, so don't worry.
Before we get there, we're going to talk about the other sports that happen on this campus, because I know you're going to... tune out after we talk about women's basketball. So, the women's swimming and diving team has done incredible this season, sitting at 4-1 with wins over the College of Idaho, WAC opponent University of Northern Colorado. They had a meet in Long Beach, California, where Ginger Kiefer won the 5K open. That doesn't count towards the team record, but lost to defending WAC champion Northern Arizona, 167-133 down in Flagstaff.
Gosh dang it.
Yeah, I know, right? Can't they be bad at something? And then picked up a win here. This is all last semester, but picked up a win here against Seattle University, 206-56. And then they started out the spring season against Utah Tech here in Moscow last Saturday. I know there were a lot of things going on that weekend, so, but they picked up a win, 186-51 over a WAC opponent. They have 3 more meets before the end of the year. On Friday, this coming Friday, will head over across the border to Washington State, and then the Cougs will return the favor at 10:30 a.m. next Saturday. I might pop up there after we're done here.
Yeah. Me too.
And the
have a show.
Yeah, well, we'll figure that out. they'll still be going after an hour and a half. These things take forever.
That's true.
And then they'll close out the regular season, time to be announced, but on February 8th against another WAC opponent in the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley up here at the UI Swim Center. And then they'll have a couple weeks off before they head down to the WAC Championship in Houston, Texas on February 26th. So a team to look out for that could potentially, probably not win the WAC, but I could see them taking second, maybe third, you know. But yeah, they've knocked off two WAC opponents and play one more this season. So kind of exciting stuff. And then, I'll clear my throat because this is going to be a lot to read. I had Jaden type this all up for me. The Idaho track and field team is at home. They're actually competing as we speak in probably something. I think men's heptathlon pole vault is going on right now, so we have a couple guys in that. But the Lauren McCluskey Memorial Open began yesterday morning. It's a long couple of days for the Idaho Vandals. But yesterday, I'm going to talk about some of the highlights, starting with the men's weight throw. Weston Jeffries finished at 16.94 meters, or 55 feet and 7 inches, which, while that sounds like a large distance, took him into sixth place. Next up, women's weight throw, my probably favorite Vandal. I got to interview her last season, which was pretty cool. Women's weight throw, Mia Sylvester, finished at 63 feet, 1.5 inches. I figured after I mentioned Wes getting meters, we'd talk in freedom units for the rest of them. So 63 feet, that's 8 feet further than Wes threw his. I think they are different weights for the men and women, but still a pretty big feat for Mia Sylvester. And then Jesue Daugherty finished first in the men's long jump. If I butchered his name, I'm sorry. Finished first in the men's long jump at 24 feet, 6.5 inches. It's pretty cool. I got to watch him do that jump from all the way across the track. But I didn't have time to get from the 4,000 over there, you know. But it's a big track. I can't be in two places at once.
That's true.
Speaking of the men's 4,000 distance medley relay, I didn't want to have Jaden type up all eight names for these teams, but the Idaho A finished in 10 minutes, 9.93 seconds, take first, and the Idaho B team finished in 10 minutes, 16.73 seconds, to take second. And the women's 4,000 DMR, the Idaho A team finished in 11 minutes, 56.72 seconds, to take first, and the Idaho B team finished in 12 minutes, 9.9 seconds, to take second. Oh, man. In the women's 200, we had four runners in the top 10, with Franziska Sturr taking second. Alyssa Marsh, I think, took fourth. Ryan Madden, I think, took sixth. And Jana Willems took, I think, ninth. And then rounding out with the women's 3,000, Tia Catcher took second, Jesse Reading took third, and Belen Garcia Arias took fourth in the pentathlon. So pretty good first day for the Vandals. They don't have the team scores updated online, so I have no clue who's in first, but if I had to take a wild guess, I would say it's probably Washington State, Eastern Washington, Idaho, and Sac kind of battling for those top four spots. The College of Idaho has also done incredibly well this weekend, so we'll talk about that next week, the overall results for the Lauren McCluskey Memorial Open. Oh, okay, we're getting there, Jaden. We're getting there. We're going to have like 30 minutes to talk about women's basketball and a little bit of football.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Before we get there, the women's tennis team is taking on UC Irvine in 35 minutes. They are in California for the weekend. They have UC San Diego on Sunday at 10 a.m., but they started their trip down to California with a 6-1 win against UC Riverside, which kind of makes up for the 6-1 loss to Washington State last Friday. So sitting at 1-1 overall with a lot of season left to go, including, it looks like, every home game is going to be hosted in the P1 FCU Kibby Dome, Gene.
Nice.
Now, I don't know if that's entirely true, but if it is,
we'll find out, I guess.
I would be really happy. It does say on here that they're all being hosted at the Kibby Dome. So maybe Coach Ford was nice enough and he said, you know what, we'll wait until March 16th to lay the turf down and get started inside and everyone will be happy.
Yeah.
And one more sport to mention before we get into the basketballs. Men's tennis is taking on George Fox University in Newburgh, Oregon in 34 minutes. So, Jaden, I've talked a lot. I'm going to run out and grab something to drink real quick. If you could take over for a minute here and talk about the 14-4 Idaho women's basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, they are 14-4, 6-1 in conference, have won 6 straight games, including three since we've last talked. They beat the University of they beat Eastern Washington on Saturday, and then they tied that up with a Montana victory where they led from the very first tip off until the very end of the game. And then they defeated the Northern Colorado Bears Thursday. I'm sorry, I really had to think. 68-57, where Olivia Nelson led the Vandals in scoring for the fourth consecutive game. She was 3 off her career high with 27. She matched her career high last Saturday against Eastern Washington with 29 points. She also got a career high 8 boards in that game against Northern Colorado. Hope Hassman and Rosie Schweitzer also were in double figures. So, this team has been really good. I mean, obviously, they've won 6 straight games. They've beaten top teams inside the conference. And I'm going to touch on their opponent today here shortly, but I just kind of want to really talk about this team and give them some flowers, because the last time they've really been this good was the 2017 team that won the Big Sky. So, I mean, if we can talk about a lot of things, but talk about the job that Coach Art has done this first season. He took over a team that, let's just face it, wasn't really good last year. I mean, and I know Coach Art was on this team last year, so he won't say it, but it's mountains better than it was last year. And it's really no shade at the girls last year, because they played really hard. They played, but it was just, there was something off about last year's team. Now, this year's team is full of energy, full of team chemistry, just everything about this team is way different. Coach Art took over a team with only 2 people coming back. Those 2 players, Ashton Wallace and Sarah Brands, have been through 3 head coaches in 3 seasons. Hopefully, their third one will be the coach for Idaho for a long time. We really have to talk about the 3-4 really key players for the Vandals, the starters. Olivia Nelson has been outstanding. She has been the Vandals' best player the last month. Hope Hassman has kind of gone through some struggles, but she's still up there and point. She had 12 the other night, 6 inside the first quarter, and she had some key free throws late. Rosie Schweitzer has been a consistent scorer for the Vandals, scoring in double figures in, I would say, pretty much every game this season. And then Jennifer Odlin, who's had a couple of struggles of late, but she was at the 2 weeks ago the nation's number 10 leading in rebounds per game. That number has dropped since she has had, I think, three consecutive games where she hasn't gone over 10 boards. So, but and then coming off the bench, Ana Beatriz Pasos, Alves da Silva,
that's a big name.
Had 7 points. She had 5 consecutive inside the fourth quarter. She really got us going inside that fourth quarter. You know, Sarah Brands, who's been big the last few weeks. Ana Pinero. I mean, you have players from 1 through 13 that can play for this team, and I'm really excited for what this team has done and then the future of this team going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Olivia Nelson, Hope Hassman, Rosie Schweitzer, all averaging over 10 points a game. Mm-hmm. Liv leading the team with 13.4, which is, I imagine, her average has increased a bit in the last few games.
Yes, I mean, she in her last 4 games, she's had 3 20-point games, so that will do it. And then Hassman's drop because she had 8 combined points in 2 games. Sorry, Hope, for mentioning that again, but
the facts are the facts. She'll get over it.
It is true, but
I mean, she balled out in the last couple games.
Well,
so.
I mean. Even, and see, this is something that I will mention, and Coach Art kind of gave me the very angry eye at the press conference last week for mentioning this. Hope Hassman has played great in every game. Even when she's not scoring, just to watch her play. Like, please go watch this team play, but if you watch Hassman play, she does so much for this team. She is a leader on this team. She's a heck of a passer. She is an outstanding defender. I mean, there's so many things about her. Liv and Hope are probably, and I know I'm being biased, 2 of the best defensive guards inside the conference.
Yeah.
They're really stout defensively. And Liv has been killing it offensively. Then Rosie, I think, is the most improved player. I really think she's improved down low defensively. That was a problem that I saw early on in the season that I told you. I do know that you really love Rosie as a player.
She's a great player.
And she is. She's an outstanding player. She's really improved rebounding and defensively. And then Jen is, I would say, besides Rosie, she's our most consistent player. She's also one of the most fouled players inside the Big Sky. Yeah. I mean, she is a fantastic player. She's a fantastic human, too, but she's a fantastic player. And so I'm very excited for this team. And then NAU, which I will mention here inside a bit, is going to be a really good challenge, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, to touch on just the defense of Liv and Hope, Liv is averaging 1.5 steals a game. Hope is averaging 1 steal a game. Jen's almost averaging 1. Mm-hmm. Anya's almost averaging 1. Ana Pinheiro is averaging 0.6. I mean, every player on this team, you know, we talk about the men a lot being this kind of defensive heavy leaning team. But you look at the women, and they're probably the most well-rounded team in the Big Sky Conference offensively and defensively, outside of maybe Montana State. Montana State had a girl who tied the Big Sky record for steals in a game with 11 last night or Thursday night. So
yeah, I mean, and the one thing I would say is that the Vandal defense for the 3 years I've been here have been defensive-minded.
Yeah.
The men have, too. I mean, ever since Coach Claus left, both teams, men and women, have been defensive-minded. And I personally love that as someone who loves defense. That's the reason that I love college and will not watch the NBA, because the NBA has legit 0 defense. Basically a all-star game every night. But it's just great to see. I mean, and One person I forgot to mention, sorry, Anya. Anya Bukvic is probably our best defender on the entire team. She's outstanding. Liv had 7 steals versus Eastern Washington, which is her career high. I mean, it's just great. I mean, it's fantastic to see this team grow so much in 1 year. And then, newsflash, people. We're really good for a while. We still have some young, really good players. Hope is only a sophomore. I mean, yeah, we are going to lose Rosie, Jen, and
Liv,
but we have Hope. We have Anya Pinero. And then Coach Art, Kelby Washington.
Yeah.
Who hasn't played and probably won't play this season. She's a guard from the University of Oklahoma, our highest recruit, I think, ever. She was a McDonald's all. I mean, she's a top 100 recruit. Ashton Wallace hasn't played this season. She'll be back next season as well.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. You can never say a player is going to be back 100% in the current age of college basketball.
I mean,
but I would assume Ashton Wallace will be.
I would say I'm like 99.99% sure she is coming back. And so we have some pieces for this team that'll be here for a while. I mean, Anya is a junior. Anya Pinero, I think, is a freshman. Ana Beatriz Pasos Alves da Silva is a redshirt freshman. I mean, we have young players. We also have players that really haven't played this year. Mackenzie Curtis, it was an outstanding player where I believe she is a transfer, right?
I have no idea.
But, I mean, so, like, these players, I mean, so the men's and women's team are set up for the present, but also for the future.
Absolutely. I want to jump into NAU.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because this is probably, I mean, the biggest matchup in the Big Sky today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who Montana State is playing. They're not playing NAU or us, so they're probably going to win.
Well, I mean, this game is 2 versus 3. And this game will give the other team separation. And when fighting for a 2 or a 3 seed, it could be a big deal. And so this game, I have raved about NAU all season.
They're really good.
I mean, and they're extremely balanced. And that's what. The top three teams in the Big Sky are extremely balanced. Montana State, NAU, and us. So we're really extremely balanced. This game, it's going to come down to our start, I think. Because Montana State started slow against NAU, and then NAU jumped out to that, I think, 11-point lead. And Montana State scored 30 points inside the second quarter.
Yeah.
Now, we're really good offensively. I don't see us being able to score 30 points in one quarter.
No,
I just don't see that.
We outscored 23-2 against what team was that?
24-2 against Sac State.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is like the most we've scored. It's 24-1 quarter. So we're going to have to come out and start. And then coming and starting, I'm finally going to talk about NAU. I've been wanting to talk about them all season. Sophie Glancy, the preseason Big Sky MVP favorite. She's averaging 17 points a game. A Boise, Idaho native. So, kind of excited to go against her again. And then the player I've been the most impressed with in the entire Big Sky, point guard Taylor Feldman. Feldman was I believe she started last season, but she wasn't a predominant player. Both Glancy and Feldman averaged 17 points a game. They're extremely well scorers. Feldman has scored 30, I think, twice. So, these players are extremely well balanced. They're extremely, and they score, guys. This is going to be a offensive shootout. NAU loves to go high pace. They really love to go. They really love to go fast. And so we as a defense have to get back in transition. We have to get defensive rebounds. And I'm really excited for two matchups, which I will talk about here shortly.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor Feldman has missed a game this season. She's averaging 17.4 points across 19 games. I was checking if it was the last game that she missed, but she didn't.
No.
I don't know what game she missed, and I'm not going to go through and
I was going to say, I believe it was the game last one before conference play.
Ah, that makes sense.
But yeah.
Cool. I'm glad Jaden pays attention to these things. But yeah, I mean, as Jaden mentioned, NAU is a high-octane offensive team that is just, they're just good. I mean, mm-hmm. you look at NAU, they're sitting in third in the Big Sky, just behind us, averaging basically 80 points a game.
Yeah.
They're allowing opponents 73 points a game, so they're winning games by 6.6 points. Meanwhile, Idaho is averaging 67 points a game, holding their opponents to 55 points a game, so they're winning games by 11 points a game. However, you also have to look at some of those games earlier in the season. You know, you count Walla Walla University, you won by 25. Cal Poly, you won by 20. Montana Tech, you won by 40.
Yeah.
So there's a few games in there that kind of inflate the thing playing lower level opponents. But you still, I mean, you look at Big Sky Conference play, you beat, on this 6-game streak, you beat Montana 63-50.
Beat them twice.
You beat Sac State 63-48. Portland State was a struggle, but it always is. Beat them 60-56. Eastern Washington, you beat 67-57. Montana, you beat by 13 again, 70-57, and you beat Northern Colorado 68-57. So even in Big Sky play, outside of that Portland State game, they're beating opponents by,
ten to fifteen points. More, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a, both teams are like exactly the same in that aspect, but NAU is a more offensive team. We're a more defensive team. That's why I'm really excited for this game. I mentioned two matchups I'm excited to see. Number one is going to be Olivia Nelson on Taylor Feldman. I think that one's going to be a really good one. I think both point guards are playing at their best right now. So I believe that one will be a good one. And then I think Hope might guard her too. So those two against those two guards. I mean, their other guard, Naya Moran, she's all right. She is a sister. Her sister, Olivia Moran, also starts and plays on the team. But Naya is a senior. She has been here a long time. She is a solid player, but I wouldn't really be concerned about her. And then Sophie Glancy against Jennifer Odland, I think, the matchup of the day. I mean, those two are, I would say, one and two in the best posts inside the Big Sky, with Sophie being number one. She's outstanding. I mean, there's really nothing she can't do. She is a really good shooter. That's something Jen has worked on, and she needs to keep improving on her shot. If she can get a really good mid-range, she can be a really good post player. So those two will be good, and I'm really excited for also the coaching matchup. I mean, I'm really excited to see what Coach does during the game at mid-game adjustments, which he has, I would say, one of the best of the Big Sky at mid-game adjustments. I mean, against Eastern Washington, he switched to a press out of halftime, and bam. I mean, so I'm really excited for this game starting in 15.
Yeah, this is probably Idaho NAU both times this season is probably going to be the biggest game
outside of Montana State.
Outside of Montana State. I mean, you play Montana State one more time. Both of them have lost to Montana State this season. 76-70, I think, for NAU, and then, as I mentioned, 56-53, right?
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah.
But NAU was also sitting 6-1 in conference play. They're 15-5 overall.
Yeah, we're
14-4, so they played a couple extra games, but their biggest win of the season, probably New Mexico or Arizona.
Yeah.
New Mexico was closer. That's why I said probably New Mexico. Or James Madison, which I think had like a bajillion game home winning streak that they ended. Yeah. So, I mean, just a good team. This is also The first time they've rocked these new, Jaden loves them. I think they're kind of mid.
The Astro Jack
jerseys. So they're calling themselves the Astro Jacks tonight. I understand why, you know, why NAU did this. I don't like it.
Oh, I mean, but I do. I mean, you and I said it's a great concept. It's just you're really not a fan of the teal blue. I am. I mean, I believe it's a great color. I would say they should have yellow socks or something.
Yeah.
Because to have white socks, it kind of really throws it off.
I would also maybe gradient the jersey.
Yeah, maybe.
You can have the light blue at the top. Nobody has any idea what we're talking about right now.
Go to Twitter.
Yeah, just look up NAU's Twitter. But you kind of gradient it, the light blue at the top into the dark blue where the stars are. And then reverse it on the jersey.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's
kind of like the Warriors Rose jerseys that they had. Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a very good matchup and very excited to see what happens. Win or loss, I really think it's going to be a extremely good game and it's going to be a good learning tool for when NAU comes here in a couple weeks.
You know, with a few minutes before, I want to touch on the football coaches that we've gotten.
Yeah.
Probably a good idea to preview the Idaho men taking on NAU today.
Yes.
It looks like NAU is favored by 1.5, sitting at plus 1.5 or maybe minus 1. I don't know how that works. I don't remember what it was, but I think it's NAU plus 1.5, so maybe it's we're favored to win by a point. I don't know.
Maybe,
how that works,
I don't know.
But, anywho, NAU is sitting at 12-8. Their men are sitting at 12-8. Our men are sitting, as I mentioned earlier, at 9-11. So it would make sense if NAU is favored to win. But this is just with as it was with the men after the win against Northern Colorado.
Yeah,
this
is huge.
This is probably the biggest game so far of the season. I mean, you lost to Montana twice.
I mean,
beat Montana State, which was a big game, but it was the first game of conference play. You beat Eastern Washington. That's a big win. Yeah. But NAU every year seems to have Idaho's number.
Yeah, well, and we've lost by, I think, 25 at home both times.
Yeah, we lost by like 40 a couple years ago.
That was bad.
But this is a good team full of good players.
Yeah,
and
NAU also has the men's Big Sky MVP favorite as well, and McLaughlin?
Yeah, Trent McLaughlin, who's averaging, this is ridiculous, almost 22 points a game. The next guy, Carson Tout, is averaging 13.4 points a game.
Yeah,
third guy.
We love him.
Jaden Jackson is averaging 13 points a game.
Yeah.
But after that, they kind of fall off. I mean, you got Oakland. This is a name that people should remember. Oakland Fort, which hit the biggest shot of his life 2 years ago to beat Eastern Washington. He's averaging 5.7 points a game.
I mean,
this guy had the keys to the car a couple years ago, it seemed like. And now he's the sixth best scorer on NAU.
I mean, that's what happens when you have Trent McLaughlin come out and score 22 points a game.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of,
you have three players averaging over 10. You're not really going to get very much playing time. And so, no, I mean, I'm like I said with the women, I believe the NAU game is going to be a big one. I still think the game Thursday was and will be our biggest game of the season. Except for Idaho State, but I am biased as a Idaho native. That game's always special to me, so that I've got some bragging rights. But I mean, it's very important to continue to win. I believe last year our team was spurts. We would win one and lose two, and then win one and then lose two. So we really have to string together wins and to really get us into, I would hope, the top five come Boise time, so we're not fighting and we don't have to win four games in 4 days.
Yeah, I would really hate to fall between 7 and 10 for the 5 millionth year in a row. Yeah. I mean, probably since 2016, 2017 was probably the last time we had a decent seed going into Boise. But I just want
anything but 10, because like 2 years we've been number 10. Oh my gosh. So.
And, you know, we were 9 3 years ago. Yeah. We haven't won a Big Sky Conference championship tournament game in ages. Yeah. I don't even want to look at it. It'll just make me upset.
It's been a while, guys. But,
yeah, just to clarify what I just said about Oakland Fort having the keys to the car last season. He averaged 10 points a game, started every game except one. This season he started for most of the offseason or the preseason before conference play. Thank you. Until December 30th against Benedictine Mesa, where he played 24 points off or 24 minutes off the bench. And since then he's gotten okay minutes in a couple games. He played 31 against Weber State, 21 against Sac State, but he played 4 against Idaho State, 6 against Montana State, 4 against Eastern Washington. So, roller coaster of a career for a guy who sent his team almost to March Madness a few years ago until they matched up with the Montana State Bobcats in the championship game. Yeah. But
Montana State handled them pretty well.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is going to be a big game for Idaho. It's at home in an hour and 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Not for those of you who are insane like I am, not in 3 hours and 9 minutes. 1 hour and 9 minutes. It's not at 2. It's not at 2. It's at noon.
I was like, wait, what?
So you can catch this game and still make the end of the track and field meet is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, Jayden, we have 9 minutes left.
Let's talk about some coaches, folks.
Yeah. This has been, this has been the most wild offseason Idaho football has had since probably before Coach Rob Akey. You kind of knew who you were getting, and you know you were bad, so it didn't really matter. And then you lose Coach Eck, and it's like, oh my goodness, what the heck do we do?
Yeah, what's going on?
And it was, you know, you had three options, in my opinion. You have Dan Jackson, you have Thomas Ford, or if you want to go the young alumni route, you have Matt Linehan. You go with Tom Ford. Dan Jackson ends up at South Dakota State. Matt Linehan ends up as the offensive coordinator. Yeah. And
it all panned out, I think.
I'm happy with how everything went.
Yeah.
But so Coach Ford was named Idaho's 37th head coach on December 18th. Yeah, no.
So many head coaches.
Yeah, most of them last a year and wash out.
Yeah.
Outside of Paul Petrino and Rob Akey. But Eck left on December 14th. In those 4 days, I feel like I aged about 30 years.
Well, and I believe Idaho Twitter aged 4 years because they were going absolutely nuts. I mean, understandably, when you had players like Jordan Dwyer, Mark Hamper, all of them entering the portal, I believe those guys enter the portal if Coach X stays anyway.
Yeah.
And so that really wasn't a concern. And then Coach Ford, I mean, Coach Ford, as I said and as you said, is the right hire, and he will prove to be the right hire. He has been very hard to get a hold of, though.
We'll have him on the show
sometime.
Eventually.
Yeah. He's fighting hard because signing day is next week. So he is trying to shore up the 2025 recruiting class. But before we get into that next week, we're going to talk about some coaches that got hired. As James and I said a couple weeks ago, we had all but two hired, but then a day or two after, we had a live show, they come out and announce both of those. So.
Yeah, it was Tavita Finau was announced as defensive line. And Lance Dunbar announced as the running back coach. I love this graphic that they made. It's very cute. Good job, probably, Jarek. Tavita Finau joining as the defensive line coach. Lance Dunbar joining as the running back coach. To Let's see. We'll talk about Lance Dunbar first because that's who's on here first. He was in the NFL for a little bit, played for the Dallas Cowboys and Los Angeles Rams, was signed as an undrafted free agent to Dallas in 2012, spent five seasons there, and went to the Rams in 2017, and finished his pro career with the Dallas Renegades of the XFL in 2020. Finished his NFL career with 473 rushing yards, 647 receiving yards, and two total touchdowns. Best running back in University of North Texas history, racking up 4,224 rushing yards, 49 touchdowns, 5,375 all-purpose yards, 21 100-yard games, all University of North Texas records. So what I'm kind of hoping is when you have guys like Nate Thomas and Eli Cummings and Art Williams and Carlos Matheny and the like 37 running backs that we're trying to recruit right now. I could see Idaho's run game being what we've wanted it to be for the last 30 years. And I've only been alive for 22 of those. Even for the last few years under Kochak, where it was, you know, we wanted a more heavy run offense, and we didn't really get what we wanted a lot of times. But you still, you know, when you had Anthony, that's his
Anthony
name.
Anthony Woods,
who was here a couple years ago, was really hoping he'd come back.
Yeah, almost.
He's a UCLA, I wouldn't even say almost. UCLA versus coming to Moscow, Idaho, where it's 20 degrees.
To be fair, the guy only had like four offers. So yeah. It was us, and I believe it was us and them as his top two. So
yeah, I just want a run game, and having a run heavy. Jane's watching soccer over there, if you're wondering. having a run heavy head coach, a run heavy running back coach, and having an offensive coordinator who knows how to play Idaho football. I think we have a good chance of getting what I would like to see. And then moving over to the defensive line coach, Tavita Finau. This, I think, is probably the most important hire. He was in the NFL between 2012 and 2015 with the Eagles, Cowboys, Jaden's favorite team, the Jets, and the Texans. In 2023, he was the defensive line coach at Utah State, which went to the famous Idaho Potato Bowl while he was there. Before he was there, he was a graduate assistant at Utah, which is where he went to school at, going to back-to-back Pac-12 championships and Rose Bowl appearances. And yeah, just he's a big dude, good coach, good player. And he comes into a position room coach a position room that you don't really know what it's going to look like next year.
We are going to see.
Yeah, Dallas Ofolava, who went to Wake Forest. Keyshawn James Newby, originally declared for the draft, is now at New Mexico. Malachi Williams, I'm not even going to mention it. Best of luck to Mally. I wish he would have gone anywhere else.
A team down south. Yeah. That's the only thing we kind of have to say about that one.
You lose Zach Johnson to Stanford. Amari Notice goes to Coastal Carolina.
Yeah.
Which, have fun on the colored field, I guess.
I don't blame him for that one.
No. I mean, we finally completed the trade that we got TJ Ivey for.
That is true.
So we finally returned the favor, I guess. Yeah. But this is just these two are I think are probably the biggest hires outside of obviously the offensive and defensive coordinators and maybe wide receiver coach
and also obviously Thomas Ford.
But, yeah, obviously.
It's big. And then for me, I think going back to the whole running game, I think in 2025 college football, you have to do both, but most offenses are going to be pass heavy, even inside the biggest guy. So we're probably going to be pass heavy still, but to be able to rely on our run game will be a big piece for us.
Yeah, just one last thing to mention. Actually, two last things to mention. I don't remember if you remember this last year when the infamous Bobby Hauk said that passing yards or like empty calories,
yes.
and then
yes.
beat us on the ground for hundreds of yards.
Yes.
But so the run game is incredibly important.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very important.
Yeah. Just one last thing to mention before we let you go. I'm also leaving, so the robot's going to take over. So I can go watch some track and field here. But one last thing to mention as it hits 11 o'clock. The University of Idaho will now host 6 home football games at the Kibbe Dome, all against Division I opponents, as St. Thomas is set to fully become a D1 school. We will host the Tommies on September 6th. We were supposed to play them down there. They're now coming up here, and the home and home, which would have had a game in 2027, has been canceled. So
get your butts to the PYNFCU Kibbe Dome next fall.
Yeah. So with all that being said, you have listened to the Vandal Scoreboard on KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM. I hope you enjoyed the hour of our rambling. And Jaden and I are going to go watch some basketball, I think. And I hope to see you all there. So thank you all again, and have a fantastic afternoon. And